Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, parents, families, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. This edition of 411 Teen welcomes the Politics Rap team from James S. Rickards High School IB International Baccalaureate Program students. They represent a diverse group of students, positions, political affiliations, and perspectives, and I'm always very glad to help them. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome panelists. I'll start with you, Nishi. And Nishi is one of our student producers, and she will be moving on to bigger and better. So a special congrats to you now. She'll be graduating, but in May, from James S. Rickards IB program. Nishi, you want to introduce yourself and have the others?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hollyfield. My name is Nishi, and I'm a senior currently in the IB program at Rickards, and I'm one of the co-student producers for 411 Teen.
Kaylee?
Hi, my name is Kaylee John. I'm a current freshman at Rickards High School, and I think this is like my fourth or fifth time on the
Glad to have you. Always glad to have you. Shahashra?
Hello, my name is Sahasra Akula, and I'm also a freshman at James S. Rickards High School. I'm pretty sure this is my third time on 411 Teen.
Glad to have you, always. And Devshree?
Hi, my name is Devshree Pancholi, and I'm a sophomore at Rickards. I did some tapings last year, but I took a break, but I'm glad to be back.
Well, and we're glad to have you. So I look so forward to talking with all of you. So again, welcome. Welcome. There's so much to talk about as we were talking before we came on air. I think I'll start with the hands-off rallies. Everybody's asked about those. What is your response to the hands-off rallies? And they have been held from Boston to L.A. There was one held in every state this weekend in protest of Trump. Thousands converged in the state capitol to make their voices heard here. What is your response to these rallies? What message are they sending? What's your thought? I mean, they have been everywhere, literally. You can't get away from them. They've been on all the news, you know, outlets, and hundreds of people. I should say thousands. That's what they're saying, thousands and thousands of people. Nishi, I'll start with you. Get them warmed up.
I kind of zoned out, Dr.
Well, I mean, just in response to it, if you know there are all these rallies, I mean, you didn't have to participate, but how do you respond to it, hearing that there are all these rallies? Okay.
I was really surprised to hear about them because I didn't hear about them till you mentioned to us earlier. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense considering the current like political climate we have going on right now. There's just a lot of the American public just disagrees with our government. And so it's not surprising to me. And it's also a little sad that it's not surprising because I feel like in a democracy, the government's actions should be a lot more agreeable for their people, but that's just not the case here. So,
okay. Well, Kaylee, where do you sit? What do you think?
I feel like, okay, I haven't heard too much about these rallies either, but like looking at it now, I think having these rallies, it's kind of dangerous just because there are so many like clashes with the police and there's like arrests right here and there. But I think it's an important issue. I hope that they're doing it in like a safe way where they're not being harmed. But it is an issue, like the issues that they're bringing up, they're issues that I've seen since like I was in like sixth grade, so it's been like 3 years. And even like as a sixth grader, like right in, like fresh into middle school, I feel like I felt very strongly about it. All of my friends felt very strongly about it. So I'm glad that people are doing something about it, but I'm definitely sad that they're having to do it in this way.
Okay. Shahasra?
Yeah, I would say, of course, the people need to stay safe in whatever revolts they're doing. But at the same time, I believe that this, like, the revolt and all of the rallies that have been happening are definitely, like, for a good cause. It's a great way for people to, like, dispute our government, because I also agree that, like, everything that our current president and our current government has been doing is kind of not in favor of the people. So it was just like, it was really touching to me that so many people had gathered for this one cause.
Okay. Devstree?
I feel like the policies that we've been seeing passed like recently, it definitely affects everyone on like a big scale. But I feel like there's also notes to make about how it's impacting us on a local scale.
Exactly.
Because I know there's been like cuts in the Department of Education, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, they're like disbanding it, basically.
Yeah. I feel like that affects us on such a direct level. I feel like it's great to see that there's people out there who are like agreeing with us that like some of these things should not be happening. Like, it's just not okay.
Several of you have referred to the policies and the issues. Let's look at, from your perspective, what policies or issues are up for question from your perspective? What have you said? I know you've mentioned already the disbanding of the Department of Education. Are there other policies or issues that you can identify that you have some issue with? Nisha, I'll come back to you. Just go down the line.
Just in general, like if I'm referring specifically to Florida, it's especially with the recent bill, a lot of like students in the IB program went to the Capitol and actually and discussed at the committee that where the bill was being presented about essentially kind of defunding programs such as the IB program and other like accelerated programs at high schools, AP, anything else, ACE. I unfortunately was sick, so I couldn't go. But it's just insane to me when so many students are going out of their way. They literally miss school to go to the Capitol and speak on such a pressing issue, even if we're graduating and leaving and it's not really going to affect us, because we believe that like the program should still be there for future students because we know how beneficial it is because we went through it. And yet they don't really listen to us because the bill just passed on. I mean, they did say they would vote for it already, but it's just sad to see how much effort needs to be put in just to see a difference. And even when that effort is put in, rarely do we see any changes. So I don't know, that just like that particular bill was just the first thing that came to mind because it was something recently and directly affects like students here. So I just felt like bringing that up.
Okay. All right. Kaylee, what do you think? What are some of the issues, whatever, that you have concerns about, you have questions about? They can be local, they can be state, they can be national. But what are the issues that you may identify?
To me, I think this one's like slightly more controversial than like the Department of Education. I feel like that one is something that most students like are going to be concerned about. But for me, I'm like, I'm more concerned about like the reproductive rights and stuff.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking that when I hear about like these stories, like on a local level, oh, my friend, like, oh, she's like pregnant now. I don't know what, like, I've heard it like within the past like 2 years, I've already heard like three or four. And I'm like, it's such a big issue when you aren't ready to have children as an adult, when you're already like, you're kind of going down the path of where your life is going. But I think that as like teens, it's so much harder because a lot of us don't know really what we're wanting to do with the rest of our lives. And I feel like this unexpected like occurrence could, it's like so detrimental to a student. And I think it's just a scary thing to know now that, like, you can't do with your body what you want to do. Because, like, again, this is controversial, but, like, to me, I do believe that if it is your belief that you don't believe in, like, abortions and stuff like that, then that's fine. But I do believe that we should let people who want to or need to have abortions, that they should have that right.
Okay. All right. Shahashwa.
A pressing issue recently that I have encountered was gun violence. Mm-hmm. As someone who's part of SDA, Students Demand Action, an anti-gun violence club at Rickards, where we went to the Capitol and we went and discussed with legislators and lawmakers there about gun violence. And because and it was just so pressing, because recently in the House of Representatives, the bill to lower the age to be mm-hmm. able to legally purchase a firearm went from 21 to 18.
Yes.
And I was literally sitting in the, like, House of Representatives, like, I was at the hearing for that bill, and I saw it pass, and it was actually devastating to me, because there's so many lives that have been lost, and it's just like, people always say never forget, but then they keep forgetting.
Okay, and we'll come back to that, because all of you've raised good issues. Devastating.
This doesn't necessarily impacted me like personally, but I feel like seeing stories of people getting, like, wrongfully deported out of the country, or being, like, sent back to not their native country, but to, like, a country they've been stereotyped for, like, there's no reason for legal immigrants to have to deal with issues like this. And then also, like, not having the proper background checks to send them to the right place was a big thing I saw in the news. I think it's just sad that there's people that have to deal with this, and there's people that are scared of this even. And it's just overall, like, honestly heartbreaking, in my opinion. But
Oh, that's a good point. And just to attach something to that, I know I just read before we started taping how, what were they were saying, cause I think it was 60 Minutes was saying 75% of those folks that were picked up and taken to El Salvador were picked up, and they don't have any charges or anything against them. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll come back and finish talking about these issues. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This is Politics Wrap, and we are looking at local, national, and state issues. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This is the Politics Wrap edition. Students from Rickards High School, International Baccalaureate. We are looking at what is happening at the state, at the local, and at the national level. So we need to continue. Nishi, you had something that you wanted to share, and I know we needed to talk a little bit more about gun violence, so go for it. This is your time.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly bring up a case I heard about really recently, and it was just so, like, shocking to me, honestly. And when Kaylee brought up reproductive rights, I just felt like it was very important to bring up. I think it only really officially got released to the public, like, a couple of days ago. But on March 20th in Georgia, a pregnant woman who had a miscarriage, unfortunately, was charged with concealing the death of another person and abandoning a dead body because she had a natural miscarriage. Was arrested for it. And the charges were eventually dropped. But the fact that that was even a situation in the first place is absolutely appalling to me. All of the people on the podcast right now are young women. So I think, like, especially for us to see something like that be a reality in our country, especially, it's honestly heartbreaking, because I can't believe that this is now the state that we're living in. Well, state as in, like,
yeah,
political state, not like physical state. But also, you know, Florida's not doing amazing either. But the fact that that even happened is genuinely insane to me. I don't understand how having a miscarriage, which is honestly a heartbreaking thing for any woman or any person to just go through. And she got arrested for it on top of that. I can't even comprehend that.
Comments, what do you all think? I mean, yeah, that's where things are at today. Okay? Being very candid. I mean, if we want to talk about ridiculousness. I mean, her body, you know, a natural miscarriage is your body's way of saying, like, this is not going to, there's an issue here, you know, this is not recommended, and the body repels it for whatever the reason, we'll put it that way, okay? So how can you penalize her for something she didn't even do? But they did. That's what's happening. Comments, thoughts, Kaylee, Shahasra, Devtree?
I'm sorry. Like, I just heard about this case from Nishi, and I'm like, I was like trying to look it up in between, but I was like, I was kind of shaking, so I couldn't. But I'm like, I can barely talk. Like, that's like, it scares me because it's not something that we can control. Like, if they're saying that it's not even views at that point, it's just something that our bodies
That's
do
right.
naturally because they believe that, like, if the child is not, like, strong enough to
right.
survive in the body just knows, oh, like, they're not going to be strong enough to survive outside. So I feel like miscarriages are somewhat for the better for both the mom and the child for the future. But I feel like punishing that is such, like, an idiotic thing to do. I was trying to look up, like, who, like, charged her in the first place. Like, was it a female or, like, was it a male or, like, were they, you know, like, conservative or something like that? But, like, it's shocking to me that people can be so, like, immature about things that, because everybody, I feel like we should be grateful that, oh, our moms, like, you know, went through 9 months of pregnancy, like, they gave birth to us. And I think that alone is hard, but knowing that you had a child inside of you and you had a miscarriage, knowing that your body's like halfway broken down, knowing that like your hormones are everywhere, that your mental state is like broken. And on top of that, having people say that it's your fault is, I feel like, terrible, because I feel like a mother who just had a miscarriage should be telling, like, should be told, oh, it's not your fault. It's okay.
Oh.
Like, you'll be fine. Like, I'm like, people who are more supportive should be around you rather than people pointing at you.
And as you mentioned, it's nature's way of saying this is not going to flow, you know. I mean, so I don't know. Other comments? I know someone else had a comment, but both.
Wait, I kind of wanted to
go right ahead. Whomever.
I kind of wanted to rebound off what Kaylee said. I feel like it's really interesting how these people, like our lawmakers, our legislators, they make these choices for us almost. Like,
right.
The whole Roe v. Wade abort, like that entire overturning thing. I think it was such an insane moment for like all of us, especially all of us as like women, that like, oh, they're doing something that completely makes our ability to get an abortion, which is something that I would say for all of us would be like crucial if anything were to happen. I feel like taking away that ability is like directly limiting like how safe we feel almost. Because I feel like in situations where it might be a bit awkward, it just makes life a bit more threatening almost. I don't know if that's like
no,
the
that's
proper word.
Yeah.
But how they think, like how these legislators go about like treating us, like again what Kaylee said, like there's no reason for people around her to be telling like the lady that had the miscarriage, like, hey, this is a thing that's like bad, like you shouldn't have done this, and they're charging her for it. That's like just not acceptable. Like, there's no reason that she should have to deal with that mental stress alongside like the mental stress of having a miscarriage in general.
Yeah, and being arrested for it.
I was about to say, like, her being arrested for having a miscarriage, like, her, I can't even imagine what she's going through or what she went through because it, I don't even think, like, of course it's immaturity, but at the same time, it's simply stupidity because that's like the same level of stupidity as telling a girl who's on her menstrual cycle to stop, you know? That's just what I feel like. It's like that's not possible, you
Right,
know?
right.
And that, like, hearing that case, what Nishi had just brought up, I was shocked. I'm kind of at a loss for words right now, but I can't even imagine that. And what Devtree said about how it feels like our legislators are kind of making the choice for us is
I mean,
like
that's how it
I
is. It's not, I know it feels like that, but that's also what's happening. Just to throw that in there. Yeah, it's not just you feeling this. This is what is happening.
And yeah, that's definitely true. And at the same time, like I believe that abortion is healthcare, so we shouldn't be, you know, denying anyone who is in need of that what they need.
Indeed. Other comments? Thoughts?
Wait, hold on, guys. I just looked it up, and it says that like if they found her guilty of like you know how they like dropped all the charges, it says that she could have faced up to 13 years of prison. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. It's like how, oh my days. I'm so sorry, but I just wanted to
No,
bring that
that's
up. I just
okay.
saw it and I
That's
wanted to share.
okay. I mean,
Oh,
that's what
I
this
have a
is.
case I actually want to bring up considering that wait, I don't remember the case name, but I heard about this very recently. I will do my research in a second.
Okay.
But on the topic of sentences, there was a rapist that got convicted recently, but the judge didn't charge him with a sentence to prison because he was a young man with a bright future ahead of him.
Oh, that happens a lot.
I remember seeing that.
I've
Apparently,
seen
he was
that.
studying to be a gynecologist, which is
No,
insane.
that's lit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, gynecology student guilty of rape, unpunished due to good grades and promising future. What? He is I
a
saw that too.
rapist. What are we saying? I don't.
Exactly.
Are we not going to say the same thing about a woman who wanted an abortion and is got sentenced to jail for it? I'm actually like, I don't understand what our society has come to. It just makes absolutely no sense. Why are we letting men off for committing a real, actual crime that harms another living, breathing human being and letting these women who are simply choosing to do something with their body because it is their body and arresting them for it? I'll never comprehend that at all.
Well, what do you see as being the answer? How do we address this? Because I think there's an answer. And I'll just share it. I mean, look at the legislators. Though, those are who society puts in office.
Maybe leave the decisions up to the people it actually affects. Like I just,
I
but the
wanted
thing
to,
is,
oh,
sorry,
no, go
Debbie, go ahead.
ahead.
I wanted to bring it up. I'm pretty sure hit the dude who did the crime. I'm pretty sure his school dropped him from school. Like they stopped his education, which is really good, but still, there's no reason for charges to not occur at all. Like,
That man should not be walking free.
exactly.
This is what the judge specifically said. The offense is serious and unacceptable. The man clearly crossed the boundaries of what is happening. He didn't just cross them, he literally broke them. But however, he is still young, has no criminal record, and is talented and an engaged person, both professionally and privately. He said the judge further explained that the suspended sentence would help the convicted man reflect on his actions, reduce the chance of reoffending, and avoid crippling his future employment prospects. What? A person
Where
who
was
convicted.
this?
I just, this was, I think this is very recent, actually.
No, I mean, I
5 days.
just, do you know
The
where it
article
was?
was written 5 days ago, so I would assume the case at least happened maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but not when, where? I just wondered.
Oh, where? Sorry. It's not in
It actually might have not been in our country. Let me look.
Well, that's what you want young women have to contend with. And again, my question is, how do you address it? And you may not be able to answer that. That may be just a rhetorical question, but that's something that you know.
It's in Belgium.
Okay.
So it's just not our country. It's like the entire world.
Uh-huh.
It's just against women.
Exactly. Indeed.
Isn't that just perfect?
Okay. Any other comments? Because we'll move on.
But I feel like thinking about it, imagine like you're a woman, you're pregnant, and you're going to like your gynecologist, and you learned that he literally like raped someone. Like, that is mental to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that people like that are being let free, and like the judge thought that was fine given their occupation, is insane.
Yeah, I would
actually do that.
Yeah, like that's absolutely appalling. Like, imagine being the victim in the situation, and you imagine you go to the doctor one day and you see that man,
or like that's actually
that's like the biggest nightmare ever.
It really is. I'm genuinely just, I don't get like how, I just don't get it. Like, wow, like that's insane.
Me too. Is it just me, or hopefully this is not like a theory or anything, but like, I feel like there's definitely some sort of like economic prospect involved in this.
I'm not really, there was a quote I just thought of. Someone said, like, oh, like, if there were no men in this world, who would protect the woman? And then someone responded to it and was like, from who?
Exactly.
Because if there were no men, what do we need protection from?
Right. Okay.
I just thought that was very fitting.
Well, that's something that we'll have to bring up again. I mean, just the whole reproductive rights issue, that's an ongoing issue. But I wanted to touch on, Shahasra, you mentioned the gun violence as something that you found concerning. And the Florida House, I just wanted to piggyback on that, because the Florida House approved a proposal to lower the gun purchase age from 21 to 18. I think that was House Bill 759, and it's focusing on long guns, like rifles, shotguns, and any of the long guns. The question remains with the Florida Senate as whether one can purchase handguns. And they say, the Florida Senate says, handguns, you have to be 21, and they require a permit and a three-day waiting period. It hasn't been determined. But I thought that was very astute of you to bring that up, Shahasra. Let's talk
so
about
after,
it.
Yeah, after going to the hearing for House Bill 759, on April 1st, me and other people from the Organization of Students Demand Action, we went to the Capitol in order to speak to senators and like other like lawmakers there, just about like the Senate bill, like urging them not to pass that since it already passed in the House. Mm-hmm. And we were mainly targeting the Republican members because it was them who were for it. Right. And we spoke, I'm pretty sure it was the Republican majority leader. He wasn't present, but we spoke to one of his aides, and she was genuinely just sitting there with a blank face the entire time. And it just, it kind of felt like talking to a brick wall. Like, she didn't empathize with us, or she didn't even like tell us what her, like what would, basically like she didn't even like give us anything after that. She didn't tell us anything. She just sat there and kind of like listen to us, but not necessarily. Like, we knew that us talking to her meant nothing.
Wow.
And it was so heartbreaking. It wasn't even necessarily heartbreaking. It was just aggravating to see that like our legislators literally don't care.
Or do you think there's other motivation for them to do this? I mean, do they think it's lobbyists? Or is there some kind of economic gain? I mean, lots of times when you see those types of moves, there are contributing factors.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was like some sort of economic prospect. And there was also other members from another organization called Moms Demand Action who were also there and lobbying. And they also were discussing, and they thought that it was also economic motivation.
Oh, okay. Okay. Other comments? What do you all think? How do you feel about this?
I feel like my main thing is, like, who is this law appealing to? Like, I don't see how anyone could benefit from this. Because I remember specifically this school year, earlier this school year, we had, like, I don't think it was ever, like, very, like, confirmed to be happening type of thing. But, like, there was some sort of, like, threat of, like, gun violence that was going to happen at our school. I remember going to campus that next day, and, like, it was completely empty. So it's definitely, like, not, like, uncommon incident. Like, this is happening to us. And it's just insane how people think, like, guns, which have no, like, I really don't see the benefit of guns at all. But it's crazy how people think we need to give access of, like, to guns to, like, more people, to younger people, to people who can, like, abuse them more. It's just insane.
And the people who don't have the maturity yet, or even the brain development to make wise decisions. I mean, those are all, a couple factors that we aren't even taking into consideration. Right now, it's about time that we take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This is Politics Wrap. We're going to take a brief break.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
This edition of 411 Teen features the Politics Wrap team from James S. Rickards High School, IB International Baccalaureate. We look at a number of different issues, political happenings at the local, the state, and the national level. Another thing that has happened that is what has been called the hostile takeover. And this has to do with the future of Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, saying that the future is unsure. The city of Tallahassee owns the hospital and the assets. FSU has expressed an interest in purchasing the hospital. Okay. TMH wants to partner with FSU, but remain under the ownership of the city of Tallahassee. And they pay a dollar a year to use everything. TMH wants to change the governance structure, which is needed to do expansion in Florida. The State University Board of Governors approved a proposal of, $413 million in bonds to build a new hospital in Panama City. And this is in partnership between TMH and FSU. Surprisingly, locally, folks were livid. And when I say that, this was all presented at the last city commission meeting. And they had comments from folks in the community, and folks were extremely upset. How do you read this? What would be your concern if your community hospital, TMH, becomes a part of FSU and is no longer the community hospital? How do you feel? What do you see as, what are your thoughts? Haley.
Hi. So To me, it's like, I think it's the same thing with a lot of other like kids in Tallahassee. But like, I was born at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. So to me, it's more of like a, oh, like that's like the place I was born. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. But I think the fact that it might be sold, I think the reason that a lot of people were mad is because like, it doesn't seem as transparent as I think people wanted it to be. And also, I feel like it would feel more like a business than a place where I would go if I was hurt, right? I think a lot of people would find it a lot like less trustworthy just because it's not like a, they'd be like, oh, it's not a government thing. It's like a business thing because it's like this school, like a local college that's taking it up. And I think it's gonna feel sketchy to a lot of people. I'm not sure people would feel very safe going to these places in terms of, oh, I'm going to be treated right, or oh, they're actually looking out for me and rather not the business.
Okay, you raised some good points. We need to come back to that, Shahasra.
Yeah, I would say that it definitely seemed like something's off. I wonder what like the economic aspect of it all is. Like when people go to the hospital now, since it's going to be like potentially owned by FSU, like would there be any difference of insurance in that process, or like any like raising of like, in order to go to the hospital, there's always like some sort of like fee somewhere. Like would there be any change in that? And hopefully it's not anything horrendous or like horrible, because people rely, like I know people all over Tallahassee rely on that hospital to like to have access to good health care.
It's the community hospital, and they will
Yeah.
see everyone. I think you raised some really good issues just about economics, because I don't believe that they turn anyone away. But if you don't have insurance,
Yeah.
are they still
And
going to see you? Will it
yeah,
still
and
be a
hopefully they
nonprofit? Those are some good issues.
Yeah. And hopefully they don't like change like the requirement for like which type of insurance it is due to like business reasons.
Well, it hasn't gone through yet. I mean, it's still in the planning stages, supposedly.
If
But
I could just,
yes.
sorry. If I could just add, sorry, I am back. But I was listening, and I just wanted to say that healthcare is already such a, I feel, complicated topic in the USA for several different reasons. But like kind of branching off of what Kaylee said, or maybe it was Devshi, I don't remember. But I just think that TMH would feel like less of a safe space, considering it's been a community hospital for such a long time here. And it just, again, it wasn't as transparent, so it makes it a little bit difficult and people might lose trust. So it is pretty questionable.
Other comment?
I feel like if you look at like Shands in UF in Gainesville, I feel like they've done a really good job, and this is from like my personal experience. They've done like a really good job of incorporating like the students of UF into the hospital, to where like you know you're getting good treatment, but it's also like a great opportunity for like some of those students to get like experience. And I say that coming from someone who's like interested in the medical field. While I do think that like everyone brought up good points about how there might be some like issues with this, I think it's also important to consider that this could open opportunities to like some of the students that are currently in like FSU's College of Medicine, and it could also give them experience to like become better doctors in the future even.
All right. Other comments? And do you see any positives or negatives with this? I mean, do you? I wonder, would it affect who you treat? I think who brought up the economic component, but would that influence the patients that they serve? That's just something I'm just throwing out there.
Yeah, I would hope it doesn't, due to the fact that like as you mentioned earlier, to like TMH is a Tallahassee like community like hospital. Mm-hmm. It should Nonprofit. Be serving to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully there's no like there's no component of like money necessary to like be treated there because healthcare is a right. So hopefully there's no like
Well, it
like,
should be a right. I don't know if it's a right. I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying. I just wanted to throw that in there. It's everybody does not get health care, okay?
That's true. And especially after discussing the abortion issue, like reproductive rights issue, yeah.
Right.
Yes, abortion is very much health care, and they are taking that away from us.
Yeah.
We're mentioning.
Other comments? Other thoughts? What about the guidelines? If it's part of FSU, then the guidelines will change because it has to go by the guidelines of FSU as opposed to TMH. I'm just throwing things out for you to kind of think about how it would affect changing, you know.
I was just asking, what other hospitals other than TMH are more accessible to the public
in this area? Well,
yeah, I'm not really familiar.
Well, I believe that TMH is the only not-for-profit. Now, there is...
Really?
In this area, not the only, but in this area.
Well, yes, in this area.
Okay.
Wow. That is really wow.
Because they serve outlying areas, you know, people in Crawfordville, Wakulla, you know, Blountstown, they come to TMH. I mean, there may be, and the small hospitals are, that's one of the issues that's been ongoing, are disappearing. They're not being funded. You know, it's about money. And if you're making all these cuts, small hospitals are being cut. They cannot maintain. So if you get really sick, you come to Tallahassee. I mean, people in outlying areas come to Tallahassee for everything. They come here to shop because, you know, it's more, it's a variety of shopping. You have options. So any other comments, thoughts, feelings?
I think just one more thing, like not only the fact that it's like a business aspect, but also that like FSU is a school, and like not saying that I think they would purposefully be like cold towards patients, but just saying that like as a school, I think they have a purpose and like the strive to like get their students to learn something. And I think as a hospital and as a patient going to a hospital, you're looking more for like empathy and care rather than people who are wanting to use the hospital more for like research purposes and like training. So I feel like I would feel some type of way if I'm going to the hospital and I'm in like a frantic state and these people are trying to like figure out how they're going to train or like teach these new students, you know?
Mm-hmm. And with the schools, FSU, there's some restrictions of things that you can do and things that you can say. There's a whole list of words that I think the president has issued that we can't say. And I guess I can't say them. But there's a whole list of words. Diversity, equity, and I guess inclusion, African-American. I don't know. There's a big list of words that at the university you're not allowed to use.
Oh, yeah, the cutting down on DEI initiatives, especially at the school that I'm going to, the removal of, like, over 300 courses from the curriculum. Yeah. That's a really great start to my 4 years of college to hear about. That was sarcastic, just for
two. I know that. I know. I caught that.
Yeah.
Well, we need to continue this discussion. But I wanted to get to, because we talked about this, the vape dog. Have you seen the vape dog? And he is the dog that's trained to sniff out vapes in school. It seems like vapes have become a real problem in schools, and kids are throwing them in the toilets and stopping up the plumbing system because they aren't allowed in the first place. So my question to you all is, are vapes a problem in school? How much of a problem are they?
Such a big problem. Wow.
Oh, okay.
You can smell it. You can see it. It's okay. Everywhere. Weed, especially, too. Sorry, I'm not sure if I should be saying this, but the hallways smell like weed, unfortunately, at Rickards. I think at a lot of public high schools specifically, too, teachers are aware of it. All students, I am sure, are aware of it. All my 4 years of high school, every time I walk certain hallways or near the bathroom, you can smell the scent of weed, and you can see people vaping.
See them vaping?
Yes, people will do it in the restrooms, at least. The girls' restrooms specifically. I don't really know what the boys' restrooms, but in the girls' restrooms between classes, occasionally during class, they'll just like sit in the bigger stall that's meant for handicapped people, and just it's a pretty big issue, I would say, at a lot of high schools, like public or private, whatever it is. It's such a common issue, and I'm not really sure what preventable measures could be even taken at this point, considering how large it's become. And I know that so many people are addicted to it on top of that. And at that point, it's like an issue that you can't solve on your own. So I don't really know.
So that is really a problem in the schools. I mean, this is all new to me. So I'm listening. I'm getting an education. What do the rest of you think about this? We'll get to all of you. Go right ahead, whoever.
I think Nisha brings up a really good point about how it's like a very well-known fact. I think as freshmen, like me and Zoster, us coming into high school, I think one of the first things I heard about was, oh yeah, all the bathrooms just smell like weed and vapes and stuff. And I was so confused. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's, what do you mean? You're not supposed to be doing that in school. And they were like, yeah, no, but it just happens. And I think recently, like this school year, I walked into the restroom, and you know how like when people have like barbecues, right? Mm-hmm. There's like smoke everywhere. You can barely see anything. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt, because I walked into the restroom and it was just like gray. Like the air itself was gray.
Okay.
And I was like, I was shocked, first of all, because I had seen people vape in the restrooms, but I didn't know that like vape could even build up like that. But I think the more important thing was that after I left the bathroom and I was like, I told my friends, you know, I can't use that restroom. Like, you shouldn't go into that restroom. There's like people vaping and like you can't see anything. They were like, oh yeah, like that's how it is. That's like normal. And I was just, personally hadn't seen that as much as I guess they had gotten used to it more than I had. But yeah, that was definitely a big shock to me as a freshman coming into high school.
Okay. Other comments? I know someone else has. Okay.
I was also going to say, like, as a freshman going into high school, like, so in 2023, I went to New York, and if you guys are or aren't aware, like, in New York, weed is, like, completely legal. Like, it's so normalized doing it. Like, in Times Square,
Make it quick. We got 45 seconds. Go right ahead. I just wanted to interject. Okay.
But the culture of weed and vapes are so normalized there. And it when you walk there, like, it literally is like a deep, heavy scent of weed. And I was just going to say, like, at Rickards, I think it's like the math hallway where it particularly smells the worst. And I was about the vape dog. I was just wondering, like, how they would mandate that. Like, how often would they bring it in?
I don't know. They just had that in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I thought, wow. I mean, I guess I know I'm old and out of it. So I thought, well, we talk about it briefly. So any other comments? I mean, what? Anything else?
Yeah.
Just that it's just become very normalized on top of that. So it's very difficult to get people out of the mindset that it shouldn't happen when it's just
a culture at this point.
Okay.
I think
go right ahead, real quick.
Since it's so prominent, I feel like there's definitely issues of, like, I don't know if it works this way with vapes and stuff, but like secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely,
I was waiting,
like,
for someone to say that.
I feel very congested in the hallway sometimes just because of how prominent that, like, smell is.
Well, it's time out. I appreciate you all, always. You have to come back. It's time out for this edition of 411 Teen. Many thanks to the Politics Rep folks and to the listening audience. Much appreciation for your time and ear. This is Dr. Liz Holyfield inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place. Get the 411 on 411 Teen. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Evan Rossi. If you would like to participate in the 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Team at WFSU.org.